from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
Well, it's only a few days to go until the big one, Nigel. Not the next West Ham game, but actually the Learning Technologies conference and exhibition. It's 25 years old, and I think you've probably been there for each and every one of them. You can tell us whether you have or not. But you're going to be speaking at this one, and as we have done in previous episodes before LT, I've asked you about what you're going to be talking about. So I thought this would be a good opportunity just to spend a couple of minutes with you elaborating on your session and what you're going to be talking about. So over to you.
Martin, thank you. And there is a very big one coming up, which is the West Ham against Bayer Leverkusen. And we shouldn't minimise the impact that that will make on my life alongside the impact that Learning Technologies 24, the 25th anniversary, will make on my life. Have I been there for all 25 years? Pretty much. I'm embarrassed to say, pretty much. I think maybe I've only been there for 23 of the 25 years. So I had a couple of years off at some point. But Don maybe will remember all of that stuff. So what am I going to be talking about? Well, I tell you what the title is. The title is... it's called The Great Reset, but the title is Why We Need to Rethink Organizational Learning. So what I'm starting with is what's going on in organizations. I'm not starting with, here's an interesting model. And therefore, I hope that I'm actually in the weeds of some of the really interesting things that are going on in organizations. And for me, I'm trying to make sense of it. And as always, I share everything as a work in progress rather than a clearly defined moment of knowledge. And there's a quote at the beginning of the book, which is from an author saying, I don't write because I want to share what I know. I write to find out what I know. And I kind of agree with that. I work in those weeds and I try and make sense of it. But I want to start with Lionel Messi. I think we should keep the analogy, the football analogy, going. And Lionel Messi. And I read an article by a New York University psychologist called Adam Alter. Interesting guy. And what Adam Alter said fascinated me. And what he said was this, that Messi, unique amongst great footballers, only ever observes in the first 5 minutes of every game. He walks, he does a lot of walking, Messi, but he walks around the pitch and he looks at the weaknesses in the opposing defence. So he's scanning people, he knows the players or some of them, but he doesn't know the actual tactics on the day. So he watches and he learns and he works out where he positions himself to make the biggest impact, which is the vulnerable area where it's easier to attack. Where is he going to get through? Whereas in a different position, he won't get through. So Messi is a learner, and he's a learner by field work and observation, literally field work, because he's on the field. So, I think that in many ways, if L&D did a bit of scanning like Messi of where they need to play and what they need to do, I think they could make a bigger impact on the organization. And what I'm trying to get over in the session is that we have to rethink what we mean by learning. And when we think of learning as merely an individual becoming more competent, or in the current dialogue, an individual reskilling and learning new skills on an individual basis, often a personalized individual basis, you're missing the whole trick. You know, Messi is not observing one player or thinking about how great he is or honing his individual skills. He's looking at what's going on in the organization. And I think that organizations in the immediate future that know what they know are going to be way more successful than organizations that haven't got a clue what they know. Therefore, from that initial position, a whole bunch of stuff immediately falls out. Like, how many people have power to talk to whoever they want to talk to? How many people are confident of asking for help and getting support? How many people get a couple of groups or a small number of people together to work together on a problem that no individual can work out? How many consciously scan the external environment to find out what's actually going on out there? How many contact their colleagues and ask about that external environment? And the answer is not many. You know, I've just come back from Germany and I asked a group of pretty powerful executives, how many of you would ask for help? And not a lot of hands went up, I can tell you. So there's still that individual culture. You're rewarded for what you do and no one rewards you for helping others. And no one thanks you for admitting that you haven't got a clue about this particular circumstance or this particular technique or technology or whatever it might be. So therefore, if you have an organization where people naturally coach each other, where they're always bringing new ideas in from the outside, moving those ideas powerfully around the organization, and basically being able to follow up on their curiosity, and they turn that into changes in the way the organization behaves, maybe radical changes, new product directions, new relationships with the customer, or small things, just making continuously, making improvements to what's going on. You end up with organizations that are fit for purpose in this 21st century, and not organizations based on industrial models, fixed, closed, hierarchical industrial models of the last century, and pretty much the early part of the last century, not the last part of the last century. So, you know, I happen to believe that most CEOs are desperately trying to figure it out. They don't know, and they're at least prepared to admit they don't know. And what they need are people who can help them figure it out. And that is different from people who shovel stuff onto LMSs and dump knowledge, or yesterday's knowledge often, onto an unsuspecting population and think that's what they're doing, their job. That their job should be to keep their antennae out, to do the field work, to talk to people and find out where the contradictions, the issues and the challenges are. So in some ways, you know, what I'm really saying is get down and dirty. Find out locally what's going on. Find out what the pockets of resistance to these ideas are. What kind of language do they speak in this part of the organization and not the other? And work through the collusions that you're not part of, the contradictions that you can't understand, and come out with something that makes sense for the organization. And I'm going to try to structure that a little bit better than the way I've expressed it now. But turn it into an interesting dialogue with the audience, because to come in and tell people that what they should do is not tell people but engage in conversation, and I don't engage in conversation, would be a slight piece of hypocrisy. So there will be a lot of conversation. I'd love to know whether this is striking a chord or whether people think I'm completely and utterly off my trolley, which I always retain that possibility in my head as we go forward. So I'm really looking forward to it. So I see it as a really interesting extended conversation.
Yeah, great. And also, I think maybe the antidote to the AI storm that will be learning technologies. So there's going to be a lot of talk about that. So I think I like the idea that in your session, there'll be a place where be talking about ideas that really focus on something entirely different, actually, but are just as needed as kind of new technologies may or may not be. So Nigel.
I think they need to be, Martin. I think, you know, that there's a place for AI, but, you know, I assume to Microsoft in Europe, and Microsoft are saying, we're learning. This is, We haven't got, we're not going to come and tell you what to do and how to do it and what the conclusions are. We're learning. So Microsoft itself, with its well ahead of everyone else, or well ahead of most other organizations, are there in the contradictions, the collusions, the dialects, and the pockets of resistance. They're trying to understand it and see where it fits in. So it's just another thing that you've got to put into my process and not hold it on high and look at it, worship it, and see it as a hallowed area. It's not a tool. It's a tool. It's another tool.
Well, let's see how many people
turn up
next week.
Five or six, probably.
No, but also just kind of take a view on AI that's about understanding where it fits in. And hopefully also, so I look forward to hearing how many people are talking about it in that way. But also, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you're talking about, expanding on that dialogue and seeing what you get back. So you'll have to report back to us in a future episode in terms of what people say. But that's great, Nigel. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Martin, thank you very much. Thanks for indulging me again. From scratch.